Friday night. Glad to have you on board, wherever you are around the country. This hour is once again being brought to you in hopes that the information may be worth your consideration. We think it is. We never tell people how to think, only ask them to engage in the process, and we work very hard to bring you material that is not full of BS, but it's predicated on science, and at the very least, it's predicated on logic, not on just clowns and internet buffoons spewing this garbage, which they constantly do. First, it was snake venom coming out of your kitchen faucet, which was going to kill you, and then it was graphene, and before that, it was hydras, and yeah, it's been an endless sideshow of orchestrated and planned disinformation, some of it absurdly clownish, and now here we are. This team has been there for you. We're now in our third year, and we are trying as hard as ever to bring you the most relevant breaking information when it's worth, in our opinion, your consideration. So there you go. All right, partner, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. Happy right. Friday.
Happy, yeah. I always get tired on Friday. Yeah, I get tired on Friday night late. I have to work late, and then it's Saturday night, and then it's Sunday night, and then it's Monday again. Seems to do that.
It's predictable like that.
Yeah, it is. It is. So since Wednesday, we hope to have Nurse Ann back on Monday. She's working at a big New York hospital, a different one apparently. And the word I get from her, and she's told us, is that she's seeing a lot of turbo brain cancers now, which really wouldn't be a surprise to any of you who've been listening carefully to what we've been doing. We've been keeping you up to date on that, and so what she's seeing is not a shock. It's very sad, make no mistake about it. And certainly brain is not the only location. It can be in any soft tissue in the body, and is. And we're seeing story after story of people feeling fine and then walking in and getting a battery of tests, and only to have the doctor tell them, you better get an oncologist quick, because you have stage 4 cancer of the fill in the blank, and that's exactly the way it's going. And now they're finding it apparently in the brains. We'll hear more about that on Monday, hopefully. So, okay, we have an oncological, biological weapon that does many things to shorten and end life. Many things, not just the cancer. You all know the drill by now. So what's new on your end? Anything that you want to toss in here? We're going to hear from Dr. David Martin in a couple of minutes. Another really first-class presentation. He gave an address to the, the EU Parliament, and did very well. All right.
I have an update on, if folks remember, I had an acquaintance who received the vax, right when they came out, Moderna, and I don't know what was followed up, another Moderna, maybe a Pfizer, and maybe a third one after that. And she had all of the hallmark features of pancreatic cancer, and has since gone for the biopsy and has gotten the biopsy back. And initially when she presented, they saw 3 lesions on the pancreas. And then when they went to do the biopsy, I think it was about a month later, the 3 had turned into 7. Not a good sign.
No.
But, and I question whether or not she's been given the bum's rush here. The biopsy results came back, and they pronounced her, not having cancer. Just a watch and wait situation.
Which means next week she could have stage 5 cancer or stage 6.
Well,
who knows?
Okay, so the biopsy was probably, yeah. I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And if 3 lesions turned into 7 lesions within 6 weeks' time.
What do you think?
In the meantime, her teenage daughter, who also had the shots, was diagnosed as having endometriosis.
Prepare for a complete hysterectomy immediately. That's usually what we hear. quite often.
Well, they'll try hormone therapy or, yeah, probably birth control pills or something to try to get it under control. And but see, these people are not even considering the influence of the injections on their hormonal profile. And the ability of these injections to literally ignite cancer and drive it.
It's like an arsonist in a dry field with a match.
Yeah. And I suspect the doctors at this point in time, after 2 years of this, are seeing a trend, but don't want to acknowledge that it's a trend. And
wouldn't it be possible that most doctors, oncologists included, are the ones who decided to stay on as professionals when they were given that big ultimatum and they took the shots? So they're shot up, most of them.
Yeah.
Two-thirds who stayed were shot up. Most of them,
so,
one-third said, no, I'm out of here, and they left.
Naturally, they would resist acknowledging that these things are a problem, having taken it from themselves.
Right. Crazy. It's just getting crazier. But I think, honestly, of a big, dry, grassy field and somebody with a match, and they light it off, and all of a sudden it's a raging scene of cancer. It's kind of that fast. We've had a couple stories where people have been diagnosed and literally, having felt fine, died before there could even be a protocol put together upon which to try to give them some kind of treatment, the usual cut, slash, and burn. But nonetheless, they're dead before they can even put together a package of treatment recommendations. That's happened.
Yeah, that was happening, almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
When the trend first appeared. I also know in some cases that the doctors are essentially, I wouldn't say firing their patients, but no longer agreeing to work with them for, they oftentimes don't give a reason. I learned of a friend of a friend who became a cardiac patient after having had these injections, and her life has become, just appointment after appointment. And the cardiologist basically told her he can't see her anymore, and she doesn't know what to do.
Dismissed her. Wow.
Yeah. And a lot of these specialists, because people do need, I guess, specialized care in some cases because these problems are so confounding. It's months to see them. Months. Not that they're able to do anything once you get in. It's tragic.
And how many stories of recovery and a return to health and robust well-being are we reading?
Hard to know. I'm seeing the support groups that tend to be, being support groups, they're people with issues.
Right.
That are struggling to get better, that have been abandoned by the medical system or ignored by the medical system.
It seems like the protocol is somebody comes in and presents as a vaxxed, injured party. The doctors ignore that and begin to look for traditional routes to follow, i.e. tests. So they give them all sorts of tests, and the tests come back inconclusive, or yes, you do have cancer of the pancreas, but no cause and effect is talked about with the vax situation. They don't mention it. So they run them through all these tests. They bill the hell out of their insurance, whether it's state, corporate, or private. And then they get to the point where there are no more tests to run, and they have nothing they can really offer them by way of treatment, and they dismiss them. It's interesting.
Yeah.
There's
no shortage of new ones coming through the door.
It's all about money. Look how much money there must be being made on these tests.
Oh, yeah.
These tests are not cheap. Now, when you hear Dr. David Martin talk about money, I think I've got that part in here, if not, money and getting investors to be happy about dealing with this bioweapon injection, allegedly a vaccine. was one of the most highly mentioned and important components to this whole genocide: money and keeping the investors happy. So, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, these are just cash cows now.
That's exactly what they are. All right, let's listen to a little bit of Dr. David Martin giving an address before the European Union Parliament. And he has some very good things to say, as usual. He's talking, we're going to join this in progress, or as they used to say in the industry, JIP, J-I-P. We're going to join it in progress. And he's talking about coronavirus. And the title of his 20-minute presentation, we're not going to hear but 6 or 7 minutes. Dr. David Martin to EU Parliament, coronavirus is a bioweapon and the greatest crime against humanity in world history. That's the title. So he's talking about the man-made SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus. Here we go.
In 2005, this particular pathogen was specifically labeled as a bioterrorism and bioweapon platform technology. Described as such, that's not my terminology that I'm applying to it. It was actually described as a bioweapons platform technology in 2005. And from 2005 onwards, it was actually a biowarfare enabling agent, its official classification from 2005 forward. I don't know if that sounds like public health to you. Does it? Biological warfare enabling technology. That feels like not public health. That feels like not medicine. That feels like a weapon designed to take out humanity. That's what it feels like. And it feels like that because that's exactly what it is. We have been lured into believing that EcoHealth Alliance and DARPA and all of these organizations are what we should be pointing to. But we've been specifically requested to ignore the facts that over $10 billion have been funneled through black operations through the check of Anthony Fauci and a side-by-side ledger where NIAID has a balance sheet and next to it is a biodefense balance sheet equivalent dollar-for-dollar matching that no one in the media talks about. And it's been going on since 2005. Our gain-of-function moratorium, the moratorium that was supposed to freeze any efforts to do gain-of-function research. Conveniently, in the fall of 2014, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, received a letter from NIAID saying that while the gain-of-function moratorium on coronavirus in vivo should be suspended, because their grants had already been funded, they received an exemption. Did you hear what I just said? A biological weapons lab facility at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, received an exemption from the gain-of-function moratorium so that by 2016, we could publish the journal article that said, SARS coronavirus is poised for human emergence.
Well, we'll stop there for a moment. There it is again, Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina. This, to a large degree, was manufactured right here. It ended up at Wuhan, apparently, and may have had a stop in Canada along the way. And was Ralph Baric at Chapel Hill? I can't remember. Do you recall? Oops, I'm not hearing Erica. Did we lose her? It's been a while since she was dropped off. I think we may have lost her. Okay, let's get back to Dr. Ralph Baric is the name you don't want to forget. Yeah, we did. They cut her off again. I guess they don't like David Martin's truth. Okay, we'll go back and listen to a little bit more of Dr. David Martin. This is very important material. 20 minutes, a knockout in front of the European Union Parliament.
In 2016. And what, you might ask, Dave? Was the coronavirus poised for human emergence? It was WIV1, Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1. poised for human emergence in 2016 at the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, such that by the time we get to 2017 and 2018, the following phrase entered into common parlance among the community. There is going to be an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen.
Got it? They're talking about it in the open, right in our faces. Nobody paid attention. Well, not many people heard about it. I can guarantee you the mainstream media didn't bother to try to make sure that people heard about that at all. That would have been covered up. Are you back there? All right. If you're listening, hang up your phone. We can't call you back. Apparently, it's still on. So hang up, and Todd will call you back. All right, back to David Martin here.
Word, obviously, in that phrase, the word release.
Release.
Does that sound like leak? Does that sound like a bat and a pangolin went into a bar in the Wuhan market and hung out and had sex, and lo and behold, we got SARS-CoV-2? No. Accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen was the terminology used, and four times in April of 2019, 7 months before the allegation of patient number one, four patent applications of Moderna were modified to include the term accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen.
Now, that's very interesting. We often don't think of Moderna at the same level of intensity we think about Pfizer. But it may well be that Moderna was, between the two of them, maybe even worse as a player and a formulator in this whole thing. It's all dark and dirty and completely satanic. Are you back?
I'm back.
Where'd you go? Did I cut you off again? Ah, yes. It's been a while.
The whole internet went down.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. And pulled the plug.
Guess you're getting even more worried. That's okay. You're all right. Now, here's Martin. I don't know how much of this you heard, but he made it real clear. They named it Wuhan, WIV, Wuhan Institute of Virology number one. They even gave it a name. And in the literature, it says release. This is before it was allegedly leaked at some lab, or maybe it broke out at a wet market. It's all crap. And I hope all of you out there understand the extent and depth by which you have been lied to and deceived. They have used these lies to literally kill countless tens of millions of people. Not just in the U.S., talking about Europe and around the world. People are dying all over the place. I'll never forget the pictures of a cemetery. It had more than doubled in size in the last year. There were new graves everywhere. So it's
yeah, this is happening all over the place. There's a couple of, I know of one on Rumble, but you can find them. They're just snapshots or short video clips of people having medical events, spontaneous medical events, collapsing, dying in streets all over the world. A lot in Asia, possibly some in Latin America, but a lot of Asian, a lot of, I guess they carry their cameras with them a lot, and so they catch these things. It's disturbing.
Don't leave home without it. You never know when something important might need to be recorded. They have a lot. I had that video posted at the top of the homepage for 4 or 5 days, and it showed case after case after case of died suddenly. And, oh well, you notice how all of this is a key to mass psychology. All of this has become rather commonplace and familiar now. That's how they do it. It gets exposed over and over and over again, and pretty soon the public, when they hear about these things, is, oh well, another one gone, oh well. No one's
the shock value is dramatically
gone.
Diminished.
Yeah, all but gone. All right, here's the rest of Dr. David Martin, who is really at the top of the heap with a couple of other great and heroic people who are speaking tremendous truths to this nightmare of genocide.
Justification for making a vaccine for a thing that did not exist. Keep going. If you have not done so, please make sure that you make reference in every investigation to the premeditation nature of this, because it was in September of 2019 that the world was informed that we were going to have an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen so that by September 2020, there would be a worldwide acceptance of a universal vaccine template. That's their words right in front of you on the screen. The intent was to get the world to accept a universal vaccine template, and the intent was to use coronavirus to get there. And the last slide.
Oh, and by the way, how did they get the world to take these alleged vaccines? Fear. They scared the hell out of them. And then they intimidated them. And then they threatened them. And then they gave them deadlines. And what did the sheep do? They rolled up their sleeves. We figure in this country it's a little over 80% who voluntarily took the shots. And built into the shots, without any question, is shedding. They didn't play games. This thing was put together extremely well. All right, let's hear the end of this.
This isn't advancing, so if I could have somebody advance. Let's read this, because we have to read this into the record everywhere I go. Until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, and at the emergency threshold, it is often largely ignored. To sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, he said, we need to increase the public understanding for the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. Sounds like public health? Sounds like the best of humanity? No, ladies and gentlemen, this was premeditated domestic terrorism stated at the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in 2015, published in front of them. This is an act of biological and chemical warfare perpetrated on the human race, and it was admitted to in writing that this was a financial heist and a financial fraud. Investors will follow if they see profit at the end of the process. Let me conclude by making five very brief recommendations. The last slide. Nature was hijacked. This whole story started in 1965 when we decided to hijack a natural model and decide to start manipulating it. Science was hijacked when the only questions that could be asked were questions authorized under the patent protection of the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, and their equivalent organizations around the world. We didn't have independent science. We had hijacked science. And unfortunately, there was no moral oversight in violation of all of the codes that we stand for. There was no independent, financially disinterested, independent review board ever impaneled around coronavirus, not once. Not once. Not since 1965. We do not have a single independent IRB ever impaneled around coronavirus. So morality was suspended for medical countermeasures. And ultimately, humanity was lost because we decided to allow it to happen. Our job today is to say no more gain-of-function research, period. No more weaponization of nature, period. And most importantly, no more corporate patronage of science for their own self-interest unless they assume 100% product liability for every injury and every death that they maintain. Thank you very much.
Okay, Dr. David Martin, well said, and there's the truth right there. And you think at this very moment in Lisbon, in Portugal, the Bilderberg meeting is underway. And I don't know if you saw the list yet or not, but they have produced an alphabetized list. You know, K for Kissinger, they're all there. Who's the first one on the list? This particularly made me laugh. You remember House Big Stacey Abrams? She tried twice to win statewide office.
Uh-huh.
She's the first name on the list.
Wow.
She's a Bilderberger. So they rewarded her and brought her to the Bilderberg meeting. She's
great.
Been probably one of the young global politicians from Schwab undercover all this time.
Amazing.
So, Stacey Abrams. Yeah, I just about knocked me over. All right.
I sent you this, the Defender, Children's Health Defense. Defender mm-hmm. ran this story yesterday about Colorado State University is proceeding with controversial plans to construct a new research facility to study bat diseases with funding from the NIH.
Wow.
Construction is slated to be completed sometime in 2024, 2025. So they're not slowing down.
No. There's no reason for messing with bat.
More bat viruses.
Diseases. Of course. This is always funny, their rationale. University officials and proponents of the new facility argue that the laboratory is necessary to enhance research capabilities looking into emerging diseases and viruses resulting from zoonotic animal-to-human transfer. They're telling us right there. What should come to mind first? Animal-to-human, H5N1, avian influenza. That's right.
Well, they're acting as if it's spontaneous and accidental that these things are just going to come out of the jungle and start a pandemic.
Nope.
That's what they want us to believe.
Yeah, it's a good story. I'll put that up. All right. I hope that was somewhat helpful. Just to give you the idea, if nothing else, if you take anything away from that little excerpt with Dr. David Martin. Take away the fact that this has been planned for 20 years. All right? It's been a long time coming, and they made no mistakes. They know what they're doing. Okay.
Yep.
So back to our smells issue. It's one of the fastest growing components of those who are seeking help with these various social media groups and platforms. Smells. Is there a specific group for just smells yet?
No, that follows under the umbrella of shedding. It's a symptom of shedding.
All right.
Shedding sickness, I guess.
Well,
only because the smells are so bothersome and they induce, you know, these very unpleasant reactions in people.
Yes. If you've been following us and our work, you'll know a lot about smells and what people are reporting. And I have smelled the smells, two of them at least. I don't know how many there are. There's several that are reported, and trying to describe them is a little difficult, but I've smelled it. It's not pleasant. And the best distillation of the experience is that these people are injected and they're dying. It's called putrescence. Things are going on in the body that are winding it down, and they're beginning to smell. Now, there's a lady, to set this up. I'm ready to go.
Okay, so we ran this video, I think, twice in the past year. It was first put out, I think, in September 2021, mm-hmm. when shedding was really becoming a thing. And this young woman has a condition known as chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And that's a condition that is commonly associated with people who have mold toxicity. They've been poisoned by mycotoxins. And oftentimes it comes from living in a building or a house with water damage and there's mold behind the walls. And you may not see the mold, but the mold can be there. And some of these molds are extremely toxic. Stachybotrys is probably the most renowned. It's a black mold, and it produces a toxin, several toxins. The worst, I would say, is known as trichotillomanes. And these can actually kill you. I mean, they're that bad. And But you can have many people living in the same house, and only one or two will react severely to it in an inflammatory way, and they have trouble detoxing these molds. And their body's reaction to it produces a very, very inflammatory response. They get headaches. I mean, they can be made very, very sick, debilitating, bleeding issues, menstrual issues, hormonal issues, headaches, nausea, dizziness, fatigue. You know, you feel sick. And in the last 20 or 30, maybe 30 years, they've discovered that certain people have a genetic predisposition to developing this chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And the gene that's associated with it is called HLA, for human leukocyte antigen, DR. I'm not sure what the DR stands for, but that's the one that approximately 25% of the population has this gene, and they will react in an inflammatory way to biotoxins. And it seems to be that these same people are the ones that are most affected by shedding, probably because the vaxxed are shedding a biotoxin. You know, whether it's the spike or something else, this thing is absolutely devastating. And particularly with people who have this genetic predisposition. But that does not mean that it isn't toxic for everybody, just like mold. Mold is toxic for everybody. A toxin is a toxin. But these people are particularly vulnerable to exhibiting very extreme symptoms, debilitating symptoms. Mm-hmm. But it's a message for them to get away, remove yourself from that situation. That's the way to deal with it. The more you're around it, the sicker you're going to get. And you've got to be mindful of the exposure, mitigate exposure, and then be aggressive with the ways to detox these types of toxins. And there are protocols that are out there to help people detox from biotoxins.
Might be easier to help people detox than to detox a house where it's all behind the drywall and your wall.
Well, that's mold. What about if you're living with vaxxed people? Now what do you do?
No.
And, you know, and it's sad, but the answer is you have to get away from that, you know, that agent that's making you sick.
Self-isolate.
Otherwise, you know, you will wear down your immune system with this chronic inflammatory response. Your adrenal glands will eventually burn out, and then you'll have another set of problems, you know, if it doesn't kill you. And we've known that people have died from shedding.
That's a tough one, and it's true. And I think we're among the first to make that clear and present here. This is a potentially fatal thing to do to yourself, to be exposed to the vaxxed. They are dumping things non-stop. And I have one listener who wrote in, and we've both been suggesting wear gloves, just some even lightweight cotton gardening gloves, whatever. This particular person was wearing plastic surgical-type gloves, you know, latex, and then on top of that, the rubber or cotton gloves. So, and then apparently he or she went into a market and had a full frontal face P100 mask on. So that may be something that we're going to see more of. A full 3M face mask.
I do occasionally see posts of people that have gone that far.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to this young lady's story. It's only 3 minutes long, but it's very interesting.
Hey, TikTok. My name is Anne, and you don't know me, but this is a video about my medical experiences with the pointy thing that people are getting nowadays. I haven't taken it, but I'm going to tell you something about it that I know medically. This isn't misinformation. This is my own personal experience, and my doctors agree with this experience. So, I have a disorder called CIRS, C-I-R-S, if you choose to Google it, chronic inflammatory response syndrome, inflammation in response to toxins. My body, my immune system, makes inflammation and overreacts in response to toxins. I'm a walking toxicity meter. I walk into buildings, I walk by anything poisonous, and I can tell you that it's poisonous, because within seconds I get sick. My body produces inflammation. Just like someone with a peanut allergy can get sick from 10 feet away, if there's something poisonous, I can sense it from 10 feet away. Mold is primarily what I react to, because little did you know, or most people don't know, mold is highly poisonous. It's not just allergens, it's not just spores. It releases poisonous gases to defend itself. So poisonous, there are 8 of the 10 deadliest biochemical weapons in the world are mold toxins. It's not harmless, it's not some innocent fuzzy stuff, but I digress. I also react to toxic bacteria, I react to heavy metal toxins, and more. Well, there's a new toxin I'm reacting to, and it's vaccinated people. It's not a conspiracy theory. Every time I'm around vaccinated people, I get sick. I can't go into public anymore without getting sick. I have to survive. But I get sick. I get a cough. I get brain fog. I get headaches. I get trouble thinking, trouble with my memory. My body starts to ache, and my skin burns. Every inch of my skin starts burning like it's on fire. And after a few hours, I get so sick, just by being out in the public. Out in fresh air, out at a park around other people where I didn't used to get sick, I get sick now. Grocery stores, that even if they don't have mold, I didn't used to get sick there, I get sick now. And it's growing and growing and growing this last year, the more people get vaccinated. And I don't get sick around unvaccinated people. When I'm around friends who have not been vaccinated, I don't get sick. But if I'm with friends who have been vaccinated, I get sick. There's a lot of studies that the news isn't telling you about the spike proteins. They messed up. The spike proteins that the COVID vaccine makes and tells your DNA to make, they're poisonous. So what do you think happens when they tell someone's DNA to manufacture these spike proteins that are poisonous? They build up and build up and build up. I can smell them on people's breath. And it makes me sick. I react quickly to poison, but what do you think is going to happen in a few years to everyone else?
What's happening to everyone else right now? Everyone who is not sensitive like that young lady is, who has no idea. I'm fine. I go to work every day. A lot of people in the office are shot up. Whatever. No big deal. Well, I think they're in for a rude awakening sooner rather than later.
You can bet something's happening. You just don't know what. I mean, this spike protein toxin is capable of all kinds of things. Seeding cancer.
We've talked about this for 3 years now, and it does so many different things. As Dr. Chetty said, it's the deadliest thing that mankind has ever created. And he's right. It has too many ways to end life. Or to make things so compromised and corrupted that your body just dies.
You know, she started the video saying that it's a disorder. I wouldn't say it's a disorder. I mean, her body is it's got an early warning system for toxins. And once upon a time, mm-hmm. during our evolution, that was an advantage. That was a survival advantage. It let a person know that they were being exposed to something that's potentially lethal, and they knew that that was a sign to get away from this thing, whatever it was, a moldy cave or...
I would much rather smell it than not smell it. It is a warning. It's an alarm.
Well, it's a living hell right now for these people that have developed or have this sensitivity. A lot of them can't leave their houses.
I don't want it that bad. I just want to... a minor affliction. So, I mean, I just don't want to... Look, you can't tell by looking at most people that there's...
No, you can't.
You don't know. And they're going to hide it. If they feel awful, they're going to act like they don't feel so awful. That's just human. That's nature. That's what nature does. So, okay, here's something. You sent me this yesterday, I think it was. It was about the baby... Heartbreaking social media post. Don't give bioweapons to babies. Okay? Here's what it says. It's very short. I have to pull up another window here. Hold on. And now my screen. All right, there we go. Yeah, that bat story is, how dumb do they think we are? It kind of answers it. That's how dumb we think we are. Sickening. All right. It's up there. Heartbreaking social media post. It's very short. Don't give bioweapons to babies. And the person's name, we blacked it out. I helped my little one get through his shots by holding his legs down tightly so the nurse could stick him quickly and accurately. He died that night.
That's heartbreaking.
I cannot even imagine trying to rationalize that in such a way that you could forget about it for more than 30 seconds. I just can't. You can't. It's unbelievable. It is so, what's going on here? And I hope this point doesn't elude very many people. Those behind this are beyond psychopathic killers. They hate us. They want us dead. And they're profiting all along the way. This is an unprecedented disaster, catastrophe for life on this planet. We also know, not to berate the point or belabor it, that babies are not just the only one, little ones who die. Your little cats and dogs will die too. We've had too many stories about that. So it is shedding. It does jump species. Spike protein takes no prisoners. All right, let's go to our COVID Chronicles file and see what you've got here for us. May 10th, we've got third-hand shedding. We've got a lot of things there. Do you remember those?
Yeah, May 10th.
Clots from shedding.
May 10th.
Cognitive decline.
I don't know which ones we've done. Do you?
None. I've got none. Only one.
Okay.
Shedding sickness from sex. That's the only one I have clicked. So
okay.
They're all new. What do you want to do?
Oh,
third-hand
let's do
shedding.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Okay. Go ahead. Start.
Does anyone here have reactions to things touched by vaxxed people, like a chair they sat in? Someone replies, "Yep, bruises." Another one says, "I've missed two periods, and now I'm wondering if it's from sitting in chairs that vaxxed have used before me in a waiting room."
Wow. Alarms going off. They should be going off in your mind. Whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed, you should understand that these people are, yes, they're fishing. No, they don't have scientific proof. But the circumstantial evidence is obviously profound when you take it into account with everything else we have presented over the long period of time we've been here. Go ahead. The next one.
Another person adds, "I had a reaction to a cushion that was on a used rocking chair that I bought. I wiped the chair down. I washed the cushion and put it in the sun, but my thighs burned right through my jeans anyway. Of course, I threw the cushion out and all was well."
Keep going. Three more.
"So frustrating. I imagine the shedding was deep into that cushion. Glad you could just toss it out." And
this would be third-hand shedding, all right, for everyone out there. It's not coming direct off of someone.
It's on,
it's on
people have. Yeah, fomites, clothing, furniture. Another one says, "I get instant cramps from being near vax people or things they have touched or been near. It does not stop until I get away from it. If a vax person walks by outside, I cannot go outside without reactions. My husband has to go outside and physically remove the shedding before I can go outside again." Now, this is interesting. Sounds a little hokey, but... Another one says, "I experienced the same. There is something in the air from these people's breath. I went to the beach yesterday, and I'm paying for it today. I was getting cramping in my side. I felt like certain people were shooting pins at me. It's such a weird experience. Yesterday and today, my leg is hurting again, and my eyes are really swollen. I will not be going to the beach for a while now.
Wow. The beach, open air, sunshine, ultraviolet radiation, UV. Seems like the argument might be made just in a cursory fashion that UV doesn't slow this stuff down, whatever's being spread. Interesting.
There's so many vax people now that it's probably concentrating wherever they are.
I would think you're right. Go ahead, take one more.
All right. Sorry you're going through that. It can be so frustrating at times. There are entire towns I cannot get out of the car in. Even rolling the window down causes reactions. How long have you been having reactions? Have you found anything that helps?
Wow. All right, there's a response to that. I'm sorry about your experience as well. I will not even go into towns, and I will not walk around my neighborhood. I will not go out into my yard when certain neighbors are home or if certain neighbors have been outside for a while. They have given me shingles, bleeding under the skin, ear infections, and leg pain. I can't stand by the window when certain people walk by. Some people cause me and my family ear ringing, all of them, when they walk past our home. Wow. I avoid these people like the plague because they are carrying a plague. I have been experiencing this probably for a couple of years, and I didn't know what it was until I started listening to researchers, scientists, and doctors. Now I know how to protect myself, and this doesn't seem like it is going away anytime soon. I will venture out, like yesterday, to see if things have cleared up. This toxin is very persistent, but my experience recently is that it doesn't stay in the air as long as when the sun is shining. The humidity is greater, and these people haven't been outside for very long. I am taking a protocol recommended by I drink green tea, I have been suffering less since taking natokinase. Now, we've been talking about natokinase and serrapeptase for a long time, and it's something we do suggest that everyone include. I try to eat a very clean diet with regenerative meat, organic fruits and vegetables, and organic seeds and grains. I try to eat raw vegetables when the animals haven't gotten to them first from my garden. I drink filtered water also. I hope you can find some relief. This isn't fun. Onward.
Okay. Oh, my. I so relate to your experience. It's been almost 2 years for me. I will have to check out natokinase. Eating healthier definitely helps me, too, and taking zeolite. I know it sounds crazy, but we use a magnet to collect the shedding from outside or when it gets on things from the grocery store. The magnet can get super strong, so be careful if you try it. We clean the magnet with a damp cloth and dispose of it like it's a biohazard, which it is. My husband and I continuously thank the good Lord for revealing this to us. Response, that isn't crazy. That's a great idea. Thank you for sharing. Okay.
Go ahead, one more.
Someone asked, so how does the magnet work for shedding? And she replies, honestly, I'm not totally sure. I read magnetized graphene oxide was in the shot and could be shedded off of vaxxed people. That's how I came to trying the magnet. I'm not sure if that's it or if it's the heavy metals or what. I'm just thankful it works.
Well, all right. Next person says, so you basically wand your household items? And what about foods? Have you done this to meat or anything you eat? And the response to that, basically, yes, we just run the magnet over things. Because I have immediate reactions, I can detect the shedding pretty easily. If a vax person sat in a chair and the chair was causing me reactions, I run a magnet all over the chair until I stop having the reactions from it. But the magnet will then cause me reactions because the shedding has concentrated on it. So I wipe the magnet off with a damp cloth and the magnet will no longer cause me reactions, but the cloth will. I then just dispose of the cloth. I personally will not eat any food that has been contaminated by shedding, even if we ran a magnet over it. My husband, however, has used a magnet to remove shedding that has gotten into his coffee from a coffee stand. So, for what it's worth,
Well, it is a magnetoprotein.
Yep.
So,
now the magnets,
if this person is getting relief, you can't really quarrel with that.
Not at all. I would use alcohol to wipe off the magnet, though, not just a damp cloth.
Yeah.
For whatever that may be worth, or hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, something too.
Magnets? Where do you get magnets? You can get them at any hardware store. Usually they're very inexpensive. They're about the size of a 50-cent piece. They're round, or you can get them in the shape of a domino, the rectangular, and they'll have a positive and a negative side to them. That's one way. They're black ceramics. Or you can pay a little bit more money and buy a neodymium magnet, which looks like polished stainless steel, but they're much more powerful. They're about 10,000-12,000 gauss. In either case, it's maybe something to consider if you are hypersensitive to shedding.
And the other tip that I've noticed is that some form of copper worn on the body, like a copper bracelet, is
right.
Also somewhat effective at reducing symptoms. Don't know why.
I forgot to send that to you. That little copper thing I have.
Oh, yeah. And then there's the copper-infused face masks.
Yeah, we use those. It's a black behind-your-ear looping face mask, and it has three layers, and one of the layers is a copper mesh. So we think that's a good idea, too. And then certainly the personal unit from Valera, wear around your neck, the positive and negative ion generator, excellent. Allison C every day is a really great thing to do for a variety of reasons. The magnets, again, we'll keep watching this. It does seem that all of a sudden magnets are beginning to show up and be talked about among those who are hypersensitive. This is kind of new.
Mm.
For me.
Yep, me too.
All right, young lady, thank you. Great job, as always.
Okay.
We'll keep tracking this. It's crazy. Have a good weekend.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we will be right back with more after this. Hang on.